coming up on TMS, Demon Anus Breath.
An LSD trip.
Meat Con Carnage.
Did you ever read about the frog who wanted pants? And then he got some...
Nice. Cop a feel of that onion.
The Morning Sciatica.
Eight Maids a-cleaning up bird shit.
Yes, the band. I mean, you know, not the exclamation, the band.
You take no candle in the winth.
Just one inflatable. Hold my Grinch.
It's Clitorator.
Take me seriously, diddly-doo.
The art of one-third of the noise.
Ginned up prank caller, I'm listening.
Lego my parts with Bill and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hello, this is Santa, and I am here to tell you that I eat millions of cookies each year. And yet I'm still not as morbidly obese as your mother.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
The Morning Stream. Ironic, isn't it? An archangel needs a monkey to get a vision from God.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Tuesday, December 20th, 2022. 5 days till Christmas, Brian Ibbett. What do you think of this?
It's 5 days. I haven't done the, I haven't done the advent calendar, and it's way up there.
Oh, you can't reach all the way up there.
Ah, let's do it. I'm going to drop a couple Groots.
It's coming down.
Hold on. A couple Groots got to come off of this thing because they're going to fall.
Two Groots, and you're all set.
Two Groots for Sister Sarah. All right, let's see what we got for day 20.
Yeah, day 20. Big day.
Big day.
I'm going to make a prediction.
All right.
Alternate Thanos. Another Thanos, but a different version.
Now, I will tell you that yesterday was Cookie Thanos.
Oh, that was Cookie Thanos because we put it in the album or the show art.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I'm going to change my thing. It's going to be Iron Man related. That's what I'll say.
Okay. All right. Iron Man. Let's see what we get.
Mm-hmm. Iron Man.
It is. Ooh, it's a Thor that I don't have.
Damn it. Let's see. I mean, that's great, though.
Aw, it's a Thor bearing a gift. He's cute.
So they didn't make him like a cookie or a candy cane or whatever. They just
I already have a cookie Thor.
Gotcha. So that's a theme where a bunch of them are cookies?
Yeah, I'd say, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So 10 of these that I've gotten so far have not been cookies, which I guess means that 10 of them have, right, if I do the math?
Well, let me ask you this. If Thanos is a cookie, does that make him a ginger snap?
Well done, sir.
Credit where it's due. Anacarakatakatoo in the chat said it. He said,
"Oh, I'm a crackatoo."
Yeah, yeah. I owe you one there, buddy. That was a good joke. Nicely done. Well, that's good. So you're gonna catch them all, Brian. All of them.
I'm gonna catch them all. Still no. I have Spider-Man with an ugly sweater, which is kind of cool because he's pointing at himself like the meme.
Yeah, look at that. He's like,
so that's kind of cool. I like
Spider-Man.
That one a
lot. Yeah.
Yep. But I've got Hulk with the presence, angry Hulk with shaking presence or doing.
Okay, so in theory, there's a version of every character holding presence. There's a version of all of them as cookies, right? Is that kind of
in theory? Yes, okay. And they're just better. There's a Spider-Man on the box that has a Santa hat on, and that better be in the box somewhere.
Maybe it'll be Christmas Day.
Maybe what we'll do is on Thursday. We're just going to open all the rest of them. So in 2 days, we're opening everything that's unopened, which I think will only be like two or three that aren't open. But
by the way, in the 12 days of Christmas, which is not this, this is an advent calendar, which is 25 days.
right.
Yes. It reminded me, I was listening to a version of it yesterday and I've never given it much thought until now, but I really don't understand the Lord's a-leaping. Like, everything else makes sense to me. You got maids milking, you got diamond rings, you got, weird birds.
Let's think about this for 1 second. Do the maids of milking really make sense? Because are they just going to be constantly milking?
Well, they're milkmaids, right? So that's their whole deal. I think every day they're up at 4.
Are they wet nurses? Wait, hold on a second.
I think every day they're up at 4 milking the cow.
Right.
Bringing it in. So they're just always milking. So what that transaction was I'm a very rich landlord and I've given you 8 of these ladies Sure. Is it eight of them? Eight maids of milking?
Eight maids of milking.
Okay.
Seven swans of swimming. So yeah. Wait a minute. But what are those maids going to be doing? Because those cows ain't going to be producing milk 24/7.
Oh, good point.
What are they
going
to be doing while the cows aren't, while they, you know, once they've drained the udders of milk?
That's a really good point.
Maids are sitting around.
Perfect point.
Maids,
I would.
Maids are idling.
Maids are idling. Yeah. You could put them to work and have them do other shit, you know? Like,
sure.
I don't know.
Well, why can't they leap?
They could leap. They could leap. You're right.
And then you could actually like learn to pipe, maybe play a drum.
See,
and maybe you could actually, you know, save me some money on what I'm getting my true love.
This is the problem with excess and rich people. They just can't stop with that. They have to keep going. They don't think that, oh, the maids could milk and then later take care of the leaping. Nope. Got to buy nine lords. You know,
help with the massive amount of bird shit that's going to be all over the place.
Yeah, no
Maybe
doubt.
They can help with that, right?
No doubt. I don't know if you saw this. It reminds me of another thing. There's Sony's headquarters in, it's either here or in Japan. I don't know where, but their big Sony logo, you know, it's just the word Sony up in the corner of a big glass building.
I saw your photo of this. Yes.
Do you see all that? There's some bird living up there and he is shitting on everything.
Living in the S. Dumb bird. Why wouldn't you have way more room in the O, bird?
Live in the O, bird. Live in the O.
Yeah,
maybe that's why
like
the poo's going everywhere.
Apartment in the sky.
But I love it. And I tried to imagine what competing video game bird is up there doing that, you know?
It's Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, like a Nintendo, some kind of Nintendo thing. I was thinking the owl that gives you coffee in Animal Crossing. He could be up there just taking
that,
a dump.
Or one of the ostriches in Joust.
Sure. Could be third-party Angry Bird or something. Someone's right, mad at exactly. Sony. And they're dumping it all over. Of course, Captain Kipper, first one on the job here with a nice link.
Yeah, Banjo-Kazooie. That was a Nintendo game, or was that a?
It was Nintendo, but it was made by a Nintendo game made by Rare, which so technically it was third party, but Nintendo had the rights to publish. So
okay,
that's why. Cool. And Rare is currently owned by Microsoft. So in theory, I don't know if they have the rights to make one or not. They had the rights to make. No, they do, because they made Banjo Nuts and Bolts for the 360, so actually
The
rights are now
so
Microsoft's.
Yeah, not platform-specific. I was just sitting here watching the cat knock over every single mini Advent Calendar Funko Pop that I've gotten as she decided to wander my desk. So,
whatever. Third host. Yeah,
it's a cat.
It's fine.
It's a cat.
That reminds me also, you keep reminding me of relevant things.
Oh, good.
Our cat, or Carter's cat, because I don't want to claim him right now, last night at about 11, scratching at my door, because he's missing Carter's attention, so now he's trying to get it from me. So he comes on the bed, and he gets all curled up on my chest and just starts breathing his hideous demon anus breath on me.
Yeah.
And I'm petting him, and it's fine. Then I'm like, all right, buddy, you got to go in your little space in there. So I put him in the room he stays in. And usually he's fine in there all night. But last night he decides to put his paws up underneath the door, pull on the door, and then let go. And it made this like bonk, bonk, bonk sound. And he did it all night long, Brian, to the point that I almost killed a cat. I feel like I was so pissed. I couldn't sleep. He just kept doing this thing. And to this moment, if I see him, I don't trust myself around him right now. I need some time away from him. So Carter, if you're listening, your cat sucks. He's the worst. Deckard Cain, the cat. Stay a while.
Cat's going to do what cat's going to do. I get so excited about talking about the guy on the flight out to Boston that I didn't talk about the flight back, which for the most part was uneventful, except for the two babies.
Uh-oh.
That were far enough, you know, I always think about Kim when I hear a baby crying on a plane. It's like, oh, that Kim would be over there trying to help the lady out and say, can I hold him while you eat your bag of crackers or whatever they give you?
Yeah.
They were too far away. They were close enough that I could hear them through my noise-canceling AirPods Pro.
with noise-canceling on.
With noise cancellation off.
Oh.
And all I could think of was that I was basically listening to an all-baby cover, 45-minute cover of the dueling guitar solo ending to Hotel California, which I think is Joe Walsh and Timothy B. Schmidt or something. I can't remember who the two guitarists were. That's the one, exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, at least you had fun with it and made a little fun idea in your head about it while it was happening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You're right, though. Kim would have been over there, like, holding it.
She would have been over there and helping out and stuff. I was reading this. Oh, I can't reach. It's far over there. I was reading an autobiography by a man named Trevor Horn.
Mm.
And you're saying to yourself, I don't know the name Trevor Horn. Are you saying that to yourself, or do you?
I am saying that. This whole time I'm saying in my head, I don't know Trevor Horn, and why should I know that name? So now I'm excited because I'm going to learn.
I'm going to tell you why you should know that name.
Okay.
He joined forces with Bruce Woolley of Bruce Woolley and the Camera Club to form the band The Buggles. And gave us the very first video on MTV, Video Killed the Radio Star. But other than that, he is a record producer and musician who was one third of the Art of Noise for a while.
Art of Noise, love them. Yeah.
He produced Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. He produced Crazy by Seal, The Look of Love and Shoot That Poison Arrow by ABC. What else? So much.
Quite the producer, man. I didn't know that.
The sound of the 80s, in my opinion, is largely due to Trevor Horn. Oh, yeah, yes. The 90125 album. So the...
Oh, the band, yes. Got it.
The band, yes. Sorry, not the exclamation yes.
I was like, wait a minute. Brian just said, oh, yes? And I went...
Oh, yes.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, you know, Owner of a Lonely Heart. That was all Trevor Horn. And that was... It was the scraps left over from Owner of a Lonely Heart that led to The Art of Noise and Beatbox and Moments in Love and a lot of those.
I had no idea.
Great Art of Noise songs.
I would say Art of Noise probably responsible for a good 80% of what drives me in music. I love anything, it kind of industrial. Voice samples getting used. I love it. Like other songs from the era, like 19.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
Paul Hardcastle. Yeah.
Love that shit. Take California, more modern version of it. I love techno that includes that stuff now. I got to be in one with that laser song. Like, I love that. Right, and it's all back to Art of Noise.
It does. It goes all the way back. And a piece of trivia that I learned that I think it's fascinating to a dork like me. Did you not knock enough stuff off? Do you try to knock more stuff off?
Well, it's a cat, you know.
Piece of trivia. So, you know that moment in Close to the Edit by Art of Noise where to be in England in the summertime.
Yeah.
With my love, Close to the Edit.
Love that.
She was a receptionist at the record studio that Trevor Horn owned.
Oh, really?
And she's also a woman who, at the end of Shoot That Poison Arrow, they have their little bit talking with her and Martin Fry at the end.
Yeah.
And he says, I thought you loved me. Now it seems like you don't care. And then she replies, I care enough to know that I could never love you. And that's it's the same receptionist. So she's like all over those early Zang Tum Tum.
She get paid for that stuff, do you think?
Like, probably. Okay. Oh, I'm sure.
I hope so,
right?
Because those are iconic.
She's not the one who says, hey.
No.
That they use all over that Art of Noise song, and that the Prodigy captured and moved into Firestarter. Reused in Firestarter.
Another band I adore. Holy crap, dude. Rest in peace, lead singer.
Again, another, you know, connection, and that
So this book goes into all that? Like
this book goes into all that stuff.
I think I would really enjoy this.
I think you would really love this book. It was such a quick read. I read it over the course of the two flights back from Boston to Chicago and the Chicago to Denver. Mm. And that hey was actually said by like Christina something Pilkington, who is heir to the Pilkington Glass Company in England or something like that.
Weird.
No relation to perfectly spherical head Carl Pilkington, as far as I know.
No relation. But, I mean, maybe somewhere way back, but that's interesting. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Anyway,
I'd enjoy it. I may have to check it out. What's the name of the book again?
The book is called Adventures in Modern Recording by Trevor Horn.
All right.
And I'm sure if there's an audiobook and it's read by Trevor Horn, that seems like it would be the way to go.
Well, you think everywhere he sits, it's the horn section? All right. Speaking of music, this is perfect transition.
Look at that. It's almost like we planned this, but we really didn't, folks.
No, we didn't even talk about this. This is like all new to Brian. So here's a little thing I've been holding that I've been wanting to talk to you about since you left. And I got kind of into Neil Diamond lately. Don't know why. Just am. and been listening quite a bit to his greatest hits, and he's got some remastered stuff, a recent Christmas album. Like, I just, I don't know, I'm in the mood for this cheese ball business from yesteryear. And I found a lyric. A lot of his lyrics are a little bit weird and of their time and make him seem like he was ancient in his 20s, you know?
Yeah.
Just that's just Neil Diamond. Well,
yeah.
One of these lyrics I hear a million times and I need to talk about it because I have questions. Okay. All right.
Oh, I love this. Yeah, go ahead.
And there's a lot of, you know, one of them's a little creepy, like you'll be a woman soon. It's just a little creepy. Which Urge
Overkill covered for Pulp Fiction. And
yes, it's just, it's a little weird, you know?
It is.
It's like, wait, what are you saying?
You'll be a woman soon.
It's like,
here's my number.
Yeah, let me know when you are the proper age.
Legal age.
So I listened to this in particular, and I can't get these lyrics out of my head. So anyway, here it is.
Did you ever read about a frog who dreamed of being a king and then became one?
What? Well,
that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Read. It's a Frog Prince story, right? It's like
is it the frog, it's the kissing one, or what is he talking about?
I think so.
Is it the Princess and the Frog?
The Princess and the Frog.
Maybe is that's it? Charles the Third? What does that mean? I blame
it.
The
is
drugs.
Sometimes you just need something to fill a couple verses, and
I guess so, man. He throws me.
That's that whole song where he yells at a chair, right?
Oh, yeah, he does yell at a chair, so it's also weird.
There's an LCD trip right there.
Yeah.
I am, I said.
That's right. It was a place and a time, right?
Right.
And if I was there, perhaps I also would have been hopped up on
maybe
mushrooms or whatever they were doing. Okay, well, then that's out of the way. It's just weird, and I didn't like it. Here's the thing I really wanted to bring up.
Sure, okay.
Oh, and then he has this great point in one song that goes like this. I've never heard anyone say deedly do and tried to have me take them serious, you know?
Yeah, no, because that's Justin Robert Young doing Adele's Rolling in the Deep, isn't it?
Dead on. I didn't even think about that. That's probably why it jumped out at me.
What was that? That was Brother Love's Traveling Medicine Show or whatever it's called.
Whatever the heck it is, yeah. There's a bunch of old stuff on there. In fact, that song I don't even think I was familiar with, and so that really jumped out at me. But there's a really lot of great old he was really good at melodic sort of I don't know, whatever. It's weird though, you listen to his newer stuff, because I did that just to see, and his voice ain't what he used to be.
Oh really? Yeah. See, I mean, for me it like stopped, and we talked about this before, about his shark jumping moment. I think was America or Song Sung Blue, or it's like anything before that, you know, give me Cracklin' Rosie, give me that song, that Brother Love, Traveling, whatever, that stuff I'm all over. But it's the stuff after that that's like, hello again.
Hello. Yeah, that one sucks. That's not
Love
a great
on
song.
The rocks. Ain't no surprise.
Big surprise.
Want me a drink and I'll tell you some lies.
I still sort of unironically like some of that, but not all of it.
All right, okay.
But I do like Forever in Blue Jeans.
Dr. Calhoun, turn on your heart light. That is
you know,
pandery
what?
3 minutes of bullshit ever.
Yeah, that's your Candle in the Wind.
Yeah, it really is. Your redo of Candle in the Wind. I fully support the
good point.
Marilyn Monroe version. He should have just written a new song.
He should. That's right. Look, just buy one less pair of giant weird pink glasses and make a new song. All right.
You're Elton Freak. Actually, technically, you're Bernie freaking Toppin.
Yeah. Damn it.
You could have written a new song for Princess Diana.
You could have done it. All right. Yeah. Here's one more thing I want to share. It's a new trend that I need to understand so that I'm not so angry at it. It annoys the crap out of me. There's a new trend on YouTube.
Oh, God. All right.
I don't understand it. Some people are going to say
it's worse than smash and subscribe and all that stuff.
I think so. It's worse because it's the entire video. So I'm going to play for you an audio example. I'm not going to show the video just because, I don't know, it doesn't need to be. The audio is what matters here. I'm going to play this audio for everybody to hear. It's about 22 seconds. And You'll see what I mean when I get to the end of it. So here you go.
This dad woke up early on the first day it snowed to write good morning in it so his kids could see it in the backyard when they wake up. After he wrote the whole thing out with even drawing a family picture, he then had to retrace his steps so he didn't make any more footprints in the snow to ruin it. He stood there for a while thinking it was finally done and then remembered he should add one more thing. So he drew a heart at the bottom. An incredible thing for this dad to do just to make his kids' day.
Okay, now let me give you some context here. Yeah. What this is a dude whose entire channel does nothing but take other people's videos and then describe what's happening as it happens.
Oh, no, really?
Now, not in a kind of like, hey, blind people, I'm here for you kind of way. Not like that.
Yeah.
It's not an accessibility thing. It's just him doing...
I'd like some likes. I'd like some views too, please.
And he's got a ton of subscribers.
Oh, jeez.
And he just does this with every video where it's like, okay, a guy, this man walked up to a thing. Like, literally, it's just him describing exactly what happens on screen. It's not like, yeah, here's a cool video, watch this, and then says some at the end, or here's my reaction to it. It's none of that. It's just him saying, here's what I'm observing, just like you are. There was nothing about that video, by the way. If I watched it silently, I could have seen everything he described. But he also adds the cheesy music and tries to, this guy, yeah, what a great guy thing at the end. Fine, it might have been, whatever, that's cool, he did that for his kids. I don't have a problem with any of the video itself. But this, sure, guy who's like lifting other people's videos and then doing this weird commentary, and then I found a bunch more just like it, and I think it's really a trend, and I don't get it. I don't
get
it.
Could we take his video and provide new narration?
Yeah, we could.
This guy is talking in this sort of voice, and he's stealing other people's videos and recording his own descriptions over them in a way to get more views for his own crap station.
I love that idea. That's not bad. Although, station's fine. It doesn't have to be a channel.
Station.
You know what?
Station.
Let's get back to station. Okay. Why is everything a channel?
YouTube station.
Yeah.
Hey, visit my YouTube station for more radio programs.
That's right.
Visuals.
That's right. More radio programs with visuals over at mystation.com. You know,
hearing anyway, the description of his the video he was describing with the dad who wrote, oh, Merry Christmas, which at first I thought might have been in urine, reminded me of a joke. So the president wakes up and he looks outside, freshly fallen snow, Washington, D.C., looks out of the front of the White House and sees the president sucks has been written in urine in the snow. And he calls in his Secret Service. The head of the Secret Service Department says, find out who did this. This is horrible. I won't stand for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Secret Service leaves, comes back a few hours later and says, okay, well, we've had our scientists do an analysis. We've discovered that the urine, sir, I'm afraid, belongs to the vice president. Yeah. But that's not the worst of it.
Okay.
He says, president says, oh, my God, what's the worst of it? He says, it's the first lady's handwriting.
That's good. That's really good. All
right, anyway,
I have not heard that joke. That was good. I will share that one far and
please
wide.
Please do. It's a great Christmas joke.
It
you
is.
You can break the ice around the table on Christmas. You can use that one.
It's a Christmas miracle, everybody. Anyway, so those are my two big audio thoughts today. I don't like this new trend. Look, I know.
No, I don't either. I don't approve of that whatsoever.
And look, I'm not even, my big complaint isn't even that he's taking somebody else's video. I get reaction videos. I understand why people are interested in those. I get a lot of that stuff, but just narrating the video, unless you're doing it for some accessibility reason, what is the point? I can see it myself. I see what's happening. You don't have to tell
exactly.
Me
exactly.
Annoyed.
Exactly.
Annoyed by this.
And there are things, you know, there's assisted listening things that'll work with the person's original channel that put up that video.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
we got closed captioning. We got all kinds of tools. We don't need that tool.
We don't need a Dateline sounding recreation of what's happening in that video.
Yeah, and I just don't understand it because the person's whose original video was, even if this guy links to him, I don't know if he does. I didn't check. Yeah. But if he links back, he's still got more views than anyone he's taken from.
Jeez.
Some of them are big viral videos and he's doing those, but yeah. I just don't need a description. It's like, oh, this kid.
We can see Charlie biting the kid's finger.
That's so funny. I was just going to do the Charlie.
Is that the one you were going to do?
That's good. That's perfect. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, like if you take any viral video, here we see Gangnam Style, where Psy is dancing around singing Opum Gangnam Style. You know what I mean? Like, what's the point?
We're seeing a cat with the owner's hands held precariously on either side of the cat as he's moving the cat up and down over a Casio Megatone keyboard.
No one asked for this service, you know? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
All right. I got some news for you here.
Let's get to the news.
Yeah, actual show news, everybody. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. It's time for the news brought to you by
Mitsula, the coffee. No, what's it? Mitsula, the Rula. I can't remember.
Oh, Mitsula, the Rula. I like that.
There was another word there that I can't remember. Mitsula, blank Rula. Oh. Mike Rula? Is he the Mike Rula? Yeah, he's the Mike Rula.
Oh, that's right.
Lord of Vegas, see him and tremble at his power.
Yeah, I just wanted to give Mitsula a shout out. Chris is a great guy. He's awesome.
He really is.
And I can't wait to see him in April, if not sooner.
Yes, exactly. I might actually have to go out there a little bit earlier to like a whole separate trip to, figure out my Taskmaster challenges.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, that reminds me. So I've had a few people pipe in and say, hey, I've gone to the website and there's links for tickets and stuff, but none of it works. Brian, I think, tweaked all that. It's all good now.
Well, here's the deal. The link to buy your hotel works.
Mm.
The link to order your ticket for TMS Vegas, Scott and I are still working on. So to get your actual ticket to the event. So I just need to take that link off of there until we have the.
Yeah, that's old stuff on there. So sorry, everybody, about that, but we will have it fixed. Don't worry. We will let you know as soon as that stuff's available, and it'll be soon.
Yeah, Claire, you can't just demand to play Taskmaster. You have to be a TMS guest. Like that's why we got Amy and Bobby and
Gotta be somebody comes on and does some content.
Sorry if Bill, Tom's there. Tom's going to be playing. Scott Fletcher doing the voices. Yeah. He's going to be there.
You can't be all caps. Provider, that's not good enough. We need be ginned up prank caller. I don't know. I'm excited.
But if you want to work with me on helping figure out the challenges and figure out how to record them, then you can do it. I think is way more fun than participating is watching you guys struggle. And
oh, I agree. I would be. It'd be fun. More fun to put the test to people than being the tester or testees. You need
the
us. The testees.
Yeah, the testees. Sure.
Nobody wants to be the testees. All right. Here's a story. Person cited for driving in HOV lane with an inflatable Grinch. Oh,
sure.
Shit.
Well, he's technically a passenger.
That's true. There's a photo here.
You're a passenger, Mr. Grinch.
You're sitting to my left.
You're sharing my carpool.
You're saving me lots of money. And it's also kind of funny, Mr. Grinch.
I wouldn't inflate you with a cigarette lighter adapter with a 9-volt telescoping cable battery plug.
New version coming, everybody. New version of the
Grinch. I love it, yeah.
Anyway, this person I love how they blurred out his face. He looks like a Minecraft character.
He totally does.
That's great. Anyway, one person was cited for driving in a high occupancy vehicle lane, or HOV lane, with an inflatable Grinch as a passenger, according to the Arizona Department of Public Safety. The driver was on Interstate 10 at Avondale Boulevard in the Phoenix metro area when a trooper saw a quote-unquote suspicious passenger. And no one else inside or aside from the driver in the vehicle. Driving in the HOV lane requires at least two people to be in the vehicle. An inflatable Grinch does not count under these rules. Well, thanks, article, for clearing that up for us.
Yeah.
While we appreciate the festive flair, this is illegal. And the driver received a citation for their HOV violation, says the AZDPS, which stands for Arizona Damage Per Second.
Is that what it is?
No, really? I don't know what it is. I guess Arizona Department of Political Stupid. I don't know.
Something Safety or Police?
I guess Public Safety.
The Department Public Safety?
Yeah, Department of Public Safety? I guess so.
A friend of mine, Ricky, says, hold my beer. One? Just one inflatable? So I sent you a video of a friend of mine, Ricky. It's in your I sent it to you yesterday.
Oh, that was you. Hold on. I remember this now. Hold on.
Yeah,
I got it before the show. Yesterday.
Yes.
Let me pull this up.
After the show. Yeah. I guess it was before the show. We just never got a chance to.
We didn't talk about it. I got it like at 7:30 or something. Oh, there it is.
That's right.
Okay. Yes. So I'm going to pull this up, chat, so you can see it.
So this is my friend Ricky, who has not one, not two, but three inflatable Christmas characters in all the seats of his car. And what's great is that when he turns on the car, that's when they all inflate. So as soon as there's power going from the cigarette lighter to all these inflatables.
Yeah.
And so it's all like they all just like
come to life as soon as he turns. And he did this for funsies. He's not trying to get away with anything on the HOV, right?
Yeah. He doesn't apparently doesn't drive anybody around in his car this time of year. Oh, so great. He just drives around with these guys in his car the whole
season. That's awesome. All right, I'm gonna chat. Here's the video, you can see it.
Go on when you start the car.
So he starts the car.
That's his Mrs. Crazy Neighbor, by the way.
Oh, is that her? She's about to break out to some yacht rock.
She is.
Oh, yeah. This is amazing. And he's got the Grinch next to him.
He does, yeah.
That's great. And he doesn't look he doesn't look at all like a Minecraft character in his video.
No, not at all. No, not at all. No. And then when he turns off the car, they all go.
So they're only up while he's driving?
They're only up while the car is running, yeah. It's like a.
That's great. I think I want to be your neighbor. That's what Mr. Rogers says.
Sadly, he's not a neighbor. He's a friend who came over. He actually, we went to the big drag show a few weeks ago together.
Nice. Oh, yeah, that's right. And was he at the, I don't know, it wasn't, he was, that was Chris Brown doing the performance thing. Never mind.
Right, yeah.
Confused which friend you have doing what.
Yes.
All right, well, there's that story. I guess the lesson is he's big and green. What do you think you were going to get away with there, you know?
At least exactly. It's kind of obvious. Like, if you, the mannequin at least could fool somebody.
Right. I even see those sometimes fooling people. I see those in cars.
Do you really? Like, actual mannequins?
Yeah, on the freeway not long ago. Last week, Kim and I went to the mall that day, which was a huge mistake.
the guy,
we saw a guy in the HOV lane with a dummy, and I wasn't sure until we pulled right up on tight, and I looked over, and I'm like, yeah, that's a fake person in there.
Woman in the passenger seat going...
She's so freaked out.
For those of you listening to the audio only, I was doing my impersonation of a blow-up doll, folks.
And if you could send me a clip of that, someone in the chat, I would really like to make a GIF. If you don't mind, if you're just sitting there.
Sure, sure.
Get that going. All right, there you go. Let's move on to this story. Scientists found... this is big news, everybody.
All right, okay, good.
Scientists, plural, finally found the clitoris on snakes.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're two.
Oh, they're one up on me.
They're two on snakes, so they're two up on you.
Now they're two up on me. Yeah.
It says here every snake's got two. Female snakes have not one, but two clitorator. Clitori.
Clitori.
According to research documenting the first formal evidence of the sexual organ in snakes. I don't know why it took us this long, but we're finally there. This two-part clitoris called the hemiclitoris. Ugh. Is present at least in nine different snake species.
I love that just the first four letters, hemi or hemi, on the front is enough to make you. Ugh.
I don't know why. It made it sound weirder, didn't it? I don't know. It's
weird.
Yeah,
it did, actually. Yeah.
Hemiclitoris.
Yeah.
My wife's got a full hemi.
Brian's got a semi. Wife's got a hemi. Anyway, sorry, everyone. There's a lot known, or say there's a lot known about male snakes and their genitalia, but not much, really anything about the female, says Morgan Falwell, or Falwell. Nothing to do with the people who rip people off for church money. Not
Let's
them.
Hope not. Yep.
At the University of Adelaide in Australia, previous research was, quote, kind of all over the place about whether the snake clitoris even existed. This feels like a joke, because that's kind of the joke, right?
It does, doesn't it? There's got to be a punchline.
Wanted to settle the debate.
The end of this.
Yeah, exactly. Falwell says her colleagues began dissecting female snake specimens from the University of Michigan Zoology Collection. They said it didn't take much searching. If you peel back the skin, it's right there in front of you, she says.
Jeez.
Right under the snake's tail there. Dissections and micro CT scans revealed a range of hemiclitoris sizes and structures between species. I think what they can't tell here, though, is... real talk here. Sorry, everybody, if you're uncomfortable with any of this, but the female clitoris is a pleasure zone,
Sure, sure.
And thank goodness, because we shouldn't have all the fun.
That's right. Exactly. Got to find the little man in the boat.
That's right. That's right. And so I don't, what I'm saying is I don't think this study says whether the snakes are enjoying it or not. Do you know what I mean? We don't know.
Right.
That.
Yeah, exactly. It may not be, I think, you know, didn't we do an article or something about, scientists saying that, you know, humans are the only ones that get pleasure out of sex or have a,
More than just instinct or whatever.
Maybe that was This American Life. Could have been Ira Glass.
It could be. I'm trying to think. Snakes. They have
coming up. We'll talk about
Act Three.
Why cows don't enjoy sex.
Then in Act Three, we'll talk about whether the cow. I don't remember, but I know. I know that. I mean, how do we? I don't know if we really know, right? We don't know,
right? Right.
Because the animal would have to tell us, and they have no way of telling us. But humans
should
and
be
dolphins
able to see in their face, but they always have that kind of like, you know, that like grin. Mm-hmm. Snakes always have that grin on their face, so you can't really tell.
No, you never know if they're enjoying themselves or that's just their default look.
Yeah, that's why I totally would be like, is this good? Is this good? Do you like this? Is this all right?
Right.
How's this? Is this good?
I feel like I've seen apes and other, you know, like chimpanzees in particular. I feel like they're having a good time.
That's right. And we've heard the turtle eye, Corey. Yeah, we know the turtle sound.
I have that somewhere. Let's hear it. Since we're here, we may as well hear it.
Sure.
Turtle. Whoops. Turtle. Yeah, here it is. I do have it. Yeah. That's it.
I like turtles.
That's why he likes turtles.
It sounds that turtle noise really sounds like Alex Jones. Alex Jones when he was crying about something.
Oh, you're not wrong. All right. Well, there's that. So that's a thing. We learned that. That's good. Yeah,
we did. Now we know there's two, and scientists have found them.
Yep. Now we move on to a very different kind of story. 40,000 pounds of meatballs.
Oh, no.
Spilled during a truck crash in Virginia.
Oh.
I know. Rough stuff,
that's
man.
That's a lot of meatballs.
That's a whole lot of meatballs on the I-15. The driver of a tractor trailer was charged with an overnight crash that spilled 40,000 pounds of meatballs across the interstate, Interstate 95 to be specific. The Virginia State Police confirmed they responded to the crash at around 12:30 a.m. Nothing good happens then. The investigation determined the tractor trailer driven by Al Stenford. I almost read that as A.I. Stenford.
Yeah. He's a truck driver that was created by a computer.
Yeah, clearly. He ran off the road, overcorrected, and struck a guardrail. The vehicle jackknifed, causing the trailer to detach. Oh. The driver of another tractor trailer, also traveling southbound, couldn't avoid the trailer and crashed into it. Fire Jeez. Department says it took over 2 hours to free the truck's operator, from the vehicle, and the driver was transported to a nearby hospital with minor injuries. Okay. He's charged with failing to obey highway markings. So I think there's a photo here. I don't know if we can really see.
Oh, gosh. I hope so.
The meat carnage. Let's see here.
The meat carnage. It's kind of funny, actually. Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot of stuff spilled all over the ground, but I can't tell what's meatball.
Yeah, maybe it's all mushed out. They don't look like... I expected little roly balls.
Yeah, but they're all... It's like, you know, Costco sells them in boxes or bags or something. Oh, tell me this was on its way to an IKEA.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be great, yeah.
Borka Borka, where's our stuff? Borka Borka, that's it.
Is there another truck coming with some lingonberry?
We're all out of Allen wrenches. Please bring those with the meat to boat. I'm looking at, like, let's see. Oh, there's more photos. Oh, this is a bad crash. Holy shite.
Yeah, I know. If the driver hadn't gotten out with minor injuries, I think we'd be like, okay, well.
No, I'd skip this one. This would not have been. We would not have done this story had this guy died.
Driver dies in massive meatball crash.
Yeah. And because it's meatballs, it's funny.
Doctors performing meatball surgery.
Yep. There you go. A little MASH reference. Never hurt nobody.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Another.
I love how our last story kind of combines. It's almost like the greatest hits of everything we've talked about so far.
Yeah. In a way, it's like it's the bread on the other end of the sandwich today.
It really is. Yeah.
Deputy
we've
dressed.
We've talked about the Grinch. We've talked about food. Now let's talk about all of it.
Let's go back to the Grinch and food. Deputy dressed as a Grinch. The Grinch, rather. There's no a Grinch. Yep. It's the Grinch.
The Grinch. Yeah. Mr. Grinch, really.
Yeah, truly. Gives onions to speeding drivers. Interesting. Several motorists who were speeding through an elementary school zone in the Florida Keys received an odorous onion as a reminder to slow the F down from a county sheriff's department dude dressed as the Grinch. Colonel Lou Caputo, a 37-year veteran of the Monroe County Sheriff's Office who conjured up the concept more than 20 years ago, was back on the streets on Tuesday.
Ooh.
drivers who travel about 5 miles per hour or less above the school zone speed limit can choose between traffic citations and an onion presented by the Grinch.
Huh.
I'd take the onion.
I know what I'd choose. Yeah, I'll take the onion.
Yeah, unless he eats it and vomits it in your back seat, I'll take the onion. This seems insane to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's.
I was gonna say. Well, I'm trying to decide: paying a ticket or just cleaning up some onion vomit.
Yeah, let's see. $200 ticket.
Yeah.
Or onion vomit. Yeah, I'd probably take the ticket. But if he just handed you an onion, I'm taking the onion.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I can take that home, make something out of it.
Right.
Says it's about education. Yeah, the blooming onion. It's about education, he says. Awareness that our school zones are still operating even though it's the holiday season. He says we want people to slow down. He said he portrays the fictional character created by children's author Dr. Seuss to give motorists a quote-unquote gift, but also to call attention in a nice way to the need to obey speed limits in school zones. It catches them off guard, says the policeman. But when I give them the clear choice of citation or onion, they will take the onion. And I've had them eat the onion right in front of me.
Oh, see, now there we go.
Yeah.
Eating a raw onion. That is the way to do it, right?
Like, there's your punishment.
All right. Either you get a ticket, a citation, or you peel and eat this onion right in front of me.
Yep. And Dr. Calhoun, you're probably right. He says this is about cops giving a fluff story to distract from their shit. Maybe, but I don't want to get... I'm sick of that world. Aww. I don't want to think about that stuff today, okay? Let us have our fun. Okay?
Wow.
Not everything needs to be horrible.
Dr. Calhoun is doing his cover of Dice Tomato today in the chat room.
It's a pretty good cover.
It's a pretty good cover. Yeah, it sounds a little too much like the original.
Oh, yeah. Those aren't Brian's favorite covers. He'd prefer it to be your own spin on there.
He's put your own spin on it. Jeez.
Now, Tally, don't pile on now. Now, we're not going down this road. We're trying to have a nice Christmas week of goofy stories. It doesn't all have to be gloom. All right? Yeah. Let's turn our sights toward happier thoughts. All right. Moving on. We're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Bill and his creative ways. We had Bobby, but he had to bail last second. Had some kind of airplane thing. I know.
Flight emergency.
I know, right? Lame.
There's fog. And Santa said, Bobby, with your flight training, won't you help me get my sleigh through the raining?
Yep. That's the old...
Trying to rhyme the training and raining.
Oh, I see. No, I think you did a good job.
Yeah, thanks.
Dr. Seuss. Are you even a real doctor? Brian did it better. Anyway, we're going to take our break now and come back with all that, plus some emails and some other stuff. So stick around. Brian, who are you playing off the break with here today? What are we
doing? Well, we talked about electropop earlier. I think pre-show we talked about Trevor. Or no, we did talk about during the show, Trevor Horn. Let's listen to some electropop. An indie electropop duo, Alexandra John, made up of the middle names of the twins, Liza and Weston Kane, who are the basis of the band, right? So it's twins, actual twins and musical twins, Liza and Weston Kane. Their middle names are Alexandra and John, and that's the name of their band. How cool is that? This is one of the three singles that they released here in 2022. The most recent, it is called Demons. It's from the album Healing. Here is Alexandra John.
Hey, as long as you don't make me smell Uranus.
I'm sorry, Fry, but astronomers renamed Uranus in 2620 to end that stupid joke once and for all.
Oh, what's it called now?
Urectum.
As I believe the Earthlings say, lay it on me, man.
The Morning Stream. The phone's gonna ring. It's gonna be you know who. Everything's gonna be all right.
And we've returned. Remind me, I need to know who that was.
Sure. That is courtesy of Black Panda PR. That is Alexandra John from their new album, Healing. That is just one of the three singles they've released from that album this year. That song is called Demons. Go check them out. Alexandra John.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. All right. We're going to get Bill on.
Bill on.
The week of Christmas. Get some last
Let's
minute.
Get it on, Bill.
Some last minute creativity talk here, which never hurt nobody.
Yeah.
And,
you know. Nothing like making presents for family.
Nothing like it.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Hey, Bill. Welcome back to the show. It's Bill Duran all the way from punishprops.com. Joins us on Tuesdays and talks about the world of makers and making things. Bill, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Excited.
Yeah? You got the big Christmas plans all set and whatever the heck you're going to do? You all good?
Going to be chill here, my brother and his wife and their kids are flying to see my other brother and his wife and their kids, and I'm not.
It's
going to be a quiet Christmas here, and if we're lucky, we'll get a sprinkling of snow, but it is raining, so I'm not going to hold my breath.
Well, welcome to Seattle. Real quick here, I forgot to mention this earlier, but it's a little bit weird. For the first time in my entire life, like my whole life, let's keep it to the marriage, because prior to that, it was always with family, like my parents or then friends or whatever. But for the first time in my entire marriage to my wife, Kim, since 1992, we've never had a Christmas Eve alone, just her and I.
Oh, that would be nice.
And that's happening this week, which we didn't even quite plan. It's just that all the other plans aligned and we were like, oh my gosh, we're alone. And we're actually looking forward to this. It's going to be great.
That's cool. You know what you should do? Celebrate. Go watch Avatar, or stay home and watch RRR.
We're watching RRR. That's coming. That's my first move. But I do want to see Avatar. But the tickets are already sold out, which I'm not used to for Christmas
for Avatar,
Day.
Really?
Yeah, Christmas Day. Well, for our two theaters that are near us.
Yeah,
they're both sold out for Sunday because we tried freaking movie theaters, dude.
Yeah, you could just watch Andor again. We just finished that, and I'd watch
just
that again.
Just
did
a rewatch?
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. What a great show.
It's good. I'll bet that show, as good as it was, I'll bet it's even better with a, just a binge straight through, where you're not waiting week to week.
I do want to watch it again. I want to watch Rogue One again before I do. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, just me too.
Hits different is what I'm told, so.
For sure,
kind of want to see how that goes. Well, Bill, let's get to it. You got some cool ideas for folks here on this Christmas week, 2022?
I do. This is a really fun one, too. So I'm obsessed with Lego. I mean,
sure,
lots of people are. Not a unique thing. I have many kits on display around my house. I have the big... I guess I'm kind of bragging. I have the big Slave One in my kitchen.
Wow, weird flex, dude.
I know, right? I've been, speaking of Christmas too, what I've been doing with a lot of my older, smaller Lego kits is I've been repackaging them and giving them to my nephews as Christmas presents for like the last 3 years.
Well, let me ask you about that, right? So when you get a big old Lego thing, you get five or six bags with big Helvetica printed numbers on them that collect all of the items that you need for that stage of the build.
Yes.
You're not putting all those back in the bags. No. Yeah, you're
and none of these
saying,
are
good luck. Yeah.
None of these are big enough to require that either. These are smaller kits.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Although I'm surprised my nephews now are, I have a couple that are in the 7 to 8 year range. They're really good at both Minecraft and Lego. They can handle some pretty advanced kits.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to have to up my game in the next few years. I'm also running out.
It is kind of interesting how I feel like, if anything, people were like, oh, this new Minecraft back in 2009 or whatever. this new Minecraft is a lot like, it's basically video game Lego. I wonder if kids will even care about Legos anymore. I think the opposite happened. I think kids got really into that, and it gave them a taste for a physical, thing. Yeah.
I think so.
I love that. I think that's great.
Well, based on the reactions, my nephews go bonkers for these things. So I would say Lego is hotter than ever among the youths.
Yeah, the youths.
So I've got all these kits. Most of them are Lego brand kits, but I have a few kits that were designed by not Lego. One of my favorites, this guy named Chris McVeigh. He's an artist who used to design all of these really cool custom Lego kits. Actually, I'll throw his link in the chat. Chris McVeigh is his name. He no longer sells kits. Excuse me. He used to sell kits. I bought his DSLR camera one a while ago, which was very cool. But he got hired by Lego. He works there now.
Oh, geez.
But if you're looking, he gives out the instructions for all of his kits for free. You just have to order the parts yourself.
Gotcha.
And his kits are so cool. He makes all these little arcade, like, Scott, you're going to see these little Lego arcade things.
Oh, I'm going to lose my mind, dude. Yes, that's what I want. If you're,
of course. Like,
lately, I haven't thought, I can't really think of a Lego set that actually draws me that much right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just not, I don't know why. None of the newer stuff really gets me. I checked the Star Wars stuff. It's fine, but I'm just like, I really want to do that one. If you told me I could build like Flynn's Arcade or whatever, holy shit, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so he's got little arcade machines, a bunch of different varieties, vending machines. Looks like he's got little sets that are like the arcade with a wacky looking carpet. And again, these are just PDFs. They're free PDFs with the instructions and a list of all the parts. You got to go get all the parts yourself, but I've done that. I've tried it out, and I can tell you how to do it.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
My problem with a lot of that stuff is, what am I going to do with it after I put it together? And you talked about a great way to do it is take it apart, put it back in the box, give it to somebody else, and let them enjoy it.
Yeah.
But if I've, my helicarrier is sitting over there just as a thing that I have to constantly dust.
That's my slave one. It's big.
It's a great display, and it's a nice dust collector. And it's not like you can even, you've got to really be careful on how you display it too, because it can fall off and break into a million pieces. And then,
And that's when, like, again, I've got nephews, especially a couple of years ago when they were a little younger, they'd show up and they would go, "Ooh, car," and reach for my, what is it? The Beetle, the Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
That is a very do not let your 5-year-old nephew play with kind of Lego thing. And I have several of those. It's becoming less of a problem, but yeah, you kind of have to build a room around that helicarrier, don't you?
Yeah,
yes, you really do. Or at least plexiglass or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the deal.
But I do have a glass display case for most of my Lego stuff that keeps the dust off.
That's cool.
Keeps the little hands out.
I do want this this NES one. It's expensive though. It's more money than an NES costs. Yeah. $269, but so cool.
That's
look at that thing.
Very cool though. It's so cool.
Yeah, I mean it's actual size too, right? I think the TV's small, but the actual box controller and cartridge are, I think those are out like scale, and I love that. Oh man.
So I was on Reddit, and I was on the Satisfactory subreddit where I live these days, and. Someone posted there's a little workbench you build in Satisfactory where you can go build things. And someone made one out of Lego, and they posted a link to all the parts and instructions that they made.
Okay.
So I did it. I ordered all the parts and I built my own. I tweeted a picture yesterday on Twitter.
Mm.
And it's adorable. It's this little workbench. That's minifig scale that looks just like it popped right out of the game Satisfactory.
Oh, look at that. Oh, that's so cool.
Right?
I've played enough of this game to know exactly what that is, and it's weirdly nostalgic for a game that's still in early access. That's funny.
Yeah, right?
I think I need to play that thing.
Oh, you'd love Satisfactory, Brian. It's so bad.
I would.
If you start playing Satisfactory and you'd like me to join and help out, let me know because I love that game so much.
Pretty sure it's coming to, when it finally exits early access, that thing will be on consoles as well.
Mm,
right now, PC only, but it is a rad game.
There's little tools. There's a little vise, that red part's a little bench vise.
Yeah, look at the little blue chipper thing that you use in the early goings of the game. We got to chip the stuff. That's so great.
So this is how it worked. So he provided instructions and a list of the parts, and there's a website called bricklink.com.
Hmm.
And you can upload the list, and it will go find individual sellers who have your parts, and it will put together as few orders as it can. For me, it made two orders with two different sellers to get all of my parts. I paid for each of them, and then a few days later, all of my parts showed up. It was pretty cool. I've never used BrickLink before, but if you were going to do one of those Chris McVay kits, you'd have to go look at his instructions, get a list of all the parts, and then go to BrickLink and buy them all. and it worked great. I got my parts, and I built my thing together, and it's so cool. It's like, so few people have this Lego kit, because there's this extra hurdle to go into buying it, but sure. I have one, and it's adorable, and I'm going to keep it from it. That one's not going to the nephews. That one I'm keeping.
Yeah. Ooh, some of the stuff's pricey.
I'm sure.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I think this Ferrari kit I'm looking at, I guess people sell them. Once they assemble them, they resell them. Anyway, they're selling for like $380 on here.
Yeah, I think people will put together their, like, there are kits that are no longer available. That, like, there is a snowspeeder kit that I really, really wanted, but they don't sell it anymore. And if you buy that kit on eBay in the box, it's thousands of dollars. But you can just go get the parts. Wow. You can figure out. And I think that's what people on BrickLink do with rare sets, is they'll put together rare kits and you can just buy all the parts.
Now, I'm trying to remember what the name of it was. I talked about it, and I can't remember if we talked about it during your segment, but there is the app that you could download where you take a picture of, you know, you throw all of your loose Lego bricks onto a table, and then you take a picture of it, and it's able to figure out what all of those parts are and tell you things you can make from those parts. And
that's
give you
amazing.
Oh, yeah, right. No, you did. We talked about this, and we even had a name.
I'm trying to find
it
on my phone right now, and it's not coming up under brick or Lego or
I've never heard of that. That sounds awesome.
I don't know what you call it.
It is called,
because if you look for Lego app, you just find like
Kipper for finding it. It is called
Captain Kipper always finds this stuff, man.
He really is. Yeah, he's like the best at this sort of thing. Brickit, BrickIt.
Yeah, so you literally just dump it on the table. And it's smartly, like, here's a good use for AI, everybody. It goes and just sees what everything is and then says, yeah, you've got this many of these, this many of these, this many of these. Exactly. It's like having your own Rain Man in your phone is really what it is.
Yeah, exactly. You could definitely build a dock. definitely build a dock.
Got to watch Wapner. But while I'm watching Wapner, you can totally build the Star Wars thing. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's worth getting, I think. I don't really have this problem, but I remember when Brian first talked about it, I just thought, that's so rad.
There's an application for your computer you can get. I think it's on BrickLink's website. It's called Studio, and that's what people use to design their own kits and instructions as well. So if you want to get into that world and design your own kits for other people to put together, the software's out there. It's like CAD for Lego.
Oh, nice.
I haven't really played with it myself, but I know it's very popular, and that's how the guy that made the kit I put together designed it.
That's how he did it.
It's one for kids as well, called Lego Kids Creator. It looks like, this is neat.
There's one for Phil Collins called Stu Studio.
Well, may he ever live, is what I say. all right, that's awesome. You know what? I'm among many kids of many generations who woke up on Christmas morning and broke out a bunch of brand new Lego and built stuff all day, and you were happy as a pig in poo. So talking about this, I think, is completely appropriate for this week. So hopefully somebody out there will be having a good time on Christmas morning.
Yes, definitely. My nephews, for sure, with their new kids.
Absolutely. Bill, as is always the tradition, you leave us with a little link there. What do you got today?
Yeah, so one of my favorite YouTubers, This Old Tony, has a new video out. There is a Secret Santa, Maker Secret Santa going thing. Let me start over. YouTube Maker Secret Santa. So makers on YouTube did a Secret Santa with one another, and Tony made some custom screwdrivers that are very, very nice screwdrivers. He shows how he did it. But also, he made something for someone else, and he got something from someone else. So if you want a whole string of videos of people making stuff for other people,
Oh my God. I thought that was like little lights overlay on his thing, but now I'm looking closer. No, that's just a big pile of string lights
in front of his hands.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Tony's a goofball. I love his videos.
Literally made screwdrivers. That's crazy. Sorry.
Listen, I love being part of the Tadpole Secret Santa. I do it every year and Tina does it. And I'm happy, especially happy to send somebody overseas. Cause I always say that, you know, I'll happily do, pick a secret Santa that is outside the U.S. I would love to separately do a maker secret Santa where you create something unique. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to go to Thingiverse and download a giraffe and print a giraffe for you. But like actually make something, like do a custom maker secret Santa. That would be such a blast.
Yeah, it'd be really fun. Right. Everyone has to make their thing. Sew it, knit it, draw it.
Like this Furby organ. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's the Furby organ's amazing. Oh, it's so good. Years the Prop Tarts, our group on Facebook, they will do a secret Santa. They didn't do it this year, but it's that sort of thing where you make something for someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always like if you get something that someone made
or
you specifically, feels great.
Pop Tart's such a great name for a community.
Pop Tarts. Oh,
Prop Tarts?
Yeah. I love that. Who came up with that? Was that you? Was that Britt?
They did.
They did.
Became self-aware in about 2014 and made a Facebook group. And
that's how the Tadpoolers did it, too. They made that up.
Yeah, I can talk about it here because he's already received it and he loves it. But Hammond, you know, I wanted to make something for Hammond this year. And the big joke that we have on Soundography is Dream Theater, one of his favorite bands, or maybe his favorite band. They have a propensity, as many people know, to create songs that are like 10, 12, 15 minutes long. And I decided to make for Hammond a 3D printed Dream Theater timer. And so I went and bought a little timer, a little circular timer, and then built an entire Dream Theater case around it so that you can time your Dream Theater song. You can actually remove the timer and actually use it as a useful, useful gift. But I love the idea of you know, doing something custom and make it.
I'll talk about that next year, maybe. There's something to that. I think that sounds like fun. And even if you don't have, if you can't 3D print or, you know, sculpt or whatever, do whatever it is you do. Just get all the creatives to hop in on that. That'd be really fun. Right.
Maybe you make puppets. Maybe you just did googly eyes onto things. Yeah. I don't know.
That'd be fine. Maybe you drink gin and make drawings in the snow with your pee. I don't know. I don't know what you do. Right. I'm not here to judge.
Barf sculptures. I don't know. Sculpture. Whatever.
Yeah, make a vomit sculpture. I'm down. Well, there you have it. As always, good stuff coming out of Bill. Stuff's always coming out of Bill. It's always good. If you want to check out his work, of course, punishprops.com. And, you know, keep an eye on all that stuff for the new year.
Oh, yeah.
Big, cool stuff going on. Bill, have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
And we'll see you later. Guys. Bye now.
See you, Bill.
Bye.
Right. I have to go add that link to QuickTMS because I forgot to do that last time we had Bill on. New post. What is it? What do we call it? Making Things with Bill, right?
Making Things with Bill. Yep.
Yeah. I call it Punished Props, I guess is what I call it.
Oh, gotcha. That works.
Yep.
All that stuff works.
Yeah.
Very nice. Hey, I got an email to read. You want to hear this?
I do. I'd like to hear all of it.
Good. Here it is. John Hines, a.k.a. Bean Man, wrote in and he says, hey, S&B. On the TMS 2390 random joke about RSS. Sorry. I'm thinking about RSS because I'm doing a host thing.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Sorry. Random joke about RES erection or res erection.
Oh, yeah.
And Plastic Man superheroes. I listen to a lot of power metal music, and there's a band called Resurrection by Erection by Powerwolf.
Okay.
So it seems like that's the album name and Powerwolf's the band. I don't know.
I guess so, yeah. Huh.
Scott, you will love the lyrics to the song, and it is so much fun to listen to. P.S. Oh, so I'll check that out. P.S. My 5-year-old son sings this song in the car, not knowing the meaning. I just hope he doesn't sing this at school. Long-time listener, first-time emailer, John. Well, John, that'll change. Your kid's not going to stay tiny forever, so enjoy that.
They'll very quickly start singing some very embarrassing stuff when family is around or you know, at times that you don't want... don't want them to sing it.
Yeah, sure. That's how it works. So best of luck with that. Now, the one thing I did want to recommend, since he's talking about heavy metal, I didn't know this existed, but B, I didn't know how good it was. I saw a list of the 15 best album, 15 best metal albums on Rolling Stone.
Ooh.
And they had at number 2, Ozzy Osbourne's Patient Number 9. And I didn't even know he had a new album, brand new album. And what? I thought, I used to love Ozzy and I, you know, still do and just whatever. But I figured, you know, he's well into his 70s now. I didn't know if he was doing anything cool or whatever. This record is so good, Brian. It's so good.
Really?
Yeah. And he listen to these people he works with. One of the co-founders of Black Sabbath. What's his name?
Tommy Iommi.
That's him. He does a couple of tracks on here with him. Uh-huh. So some, you know, getting back to basics with those two guys.
That's a lucky guess right there, by the way.
The lead track, Patient Number 9, features Jeff Black on guitar. He's got one featuring, Eric Clapton, of all people, is on one of these tracks.
Oh, really? Okay. Those are two people I've never heard of working together, so that's kind of cool.
I'm surprised how much I like this. It's so good. It's really good. And it doesn't feel like Ozzy's missed a beat. He sounds like he always did.
That's
so
cool.
Maybe he's super overproduced and always sounded like this because he was overproduced. I don't know, but
yeah,
man, it's really good.
That's awesome.
Anyway, we're checking out if you guys are interested in heavy metal this year. All right.
Gina and I were talking about, you know, it's Christmas time. We were listening to some Christmas music in the car and, Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid.
Oh, yeah.
Classic from you and, you know, when you and I were young and in 1984, we were listening to this and it was like, oh my God, all our favorite musicians are all together in this one song. This is so cool.
Yep. Seemed pretty neat back then.
And then in 2004, they did Band-Aid 2 or Band-Aid 20 or whatever it was called, that did a cover of it with people who were popular then. They did another one in 2014 for the 30th anniversary. And I'm just going to point out that we're about 2 years away from the 40th anniversary of Do They Know It's Christmas. We need to start figuring out who needs to sing this. Like we were thinking, all right, well, Adele has to sing in it. You know, other British singers, Ed Sheeran has to be part of it, you know, but we don't know who's going to be popular in 2 years. So it's got to be, there's a little bit of a mystery involved with
this.
Yeah,
that's true. Because by then we don't know who will be, you know, who's right. The
Adele might be old hat by then. Mm-hmm. But, Bono has to be in it because he always has to sing.
Yeah.
Didn't I thank God it's him.
Yeah,
instead of you.
Just bring him in. Have him the one old guy.
He did that on the other two. He did that on the 2004 and the 2014.
Yep. He's your Cliff Clavin for the Pixar movie.
Right, exactly.
You're keep bringing him in. Yeah. You know what? Great. Bring it on. When they if they do it, though, do you call it a ripoff of Band-Aid? Oh, wait, it doesn't work.
Band-Aid ripoff. Rip-off. I love it.
Pull the Band-Aid off.
I will say this. The last two have been a ripoff. Yeah, the last two versions they've done, joke or not, they've been a complete and total ripoff.
Do you think that just fades into memory once all the Gen Xers who grew up with that die off? And because nobody, there's no Gen Zs who know what that is, right? They don't know. Or maybe they do, right. And I just not giving them enough credit.
I don't know. I mean, we obviously, you and I know it so well that we don't even think about it. But I'm looking at, all right, so they had Australian for the 20th anniversary. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Band-Aid 2 was 1989. So that was just 5 years later.
Oh.
And that had Kylie Minogue, Lisa Stansfield, Wet, 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 Bananarama, who were involved in the first one.
Bananarama, oh my gosh.
Bananarama. I
haven't heard their name in a while. It's been a bit.
Yeah.
I've not heard that name in quite some time.
The sequel had Natasha Bedingfield. Oh, Chris Martin from Coldplay, Dido. Feeder, that's cool. Justin Hawkins from The Darkness.
Sure.
Sugar Babes, Joss Stone, Snow Patrol.
I mean, one of the keys to this, don't you think one of the keys to this is to get as diverse a group as possible, you know,
for sure.
Not staying just top 40, but like, here's a metal guy, here's a rap guy, here's a,
right,
you know,
right,
whatever, lady, here's Bjork or here's whoever.
Exactly. Still got to be popular, but I think Bjork was, no, Bjork wasn't. The 30th anniversary one.
She wasn't. Okay.
Yeah. No, but
what a shame.
Ellie Goulding would be a good one. She was actually in the 30 year anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
Along with,
she's great. I really like her.
Bastille,
voice.
Chris Martin from Coldplay again, Sinead O'Connor, One Direction, Seal, Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, the Ed Sheeran. People like the Ed Sheeran.
He was already in the 30th. Roger Taylor from Queen was in on drums and keyboards. Anyway, so we've got 2 years. Let's start thinking about
Ed Sheeran. Looks like somebody's little brother at a sleepover. Nobody wants to hang out with.
It really does. It's like one of the Rugrats kids sort of grew up and became Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, sort of is the operative word there because he really doesn't hasn't changed much, and he's incredibly talented. Like
he really is
mind boggling. Yeah. But if you just saw him, you'd go. Get in line behind me. I got here first, you weird kid. Like, you just, I don't know, something about him.
And those of you, those of you in the audience, men or women who just say, oh, my God, I think he's so handsome. Would you think Ed Sheeran was so handsome if it weren't for his music? Would it be like...
The answer is no.
The answer is no.
They can lie to me all they want.
Claire says he's a sex god. You see Ed Sheeran washing your car at the drive-through car wash thing, like...
Yeah.
He's cleaning your window. Do you say, that is a handsome fellow right there?
Yeah, but I will say this, Claire, and this is why, maybe this is why you like him. He's an average dude with extraordinary talent. I think that's, I'm a dude speaking here with fully heterosexual tendencies, but I find that attractive in people.
Yes.
You know, where they don't need to look like a freaking chisel cut model. They're just people that do amazing work. It's why I like movies that don't get all WB and make everybody pretty, or television shows. Like, I don't like the Berlanti effect. I like, unless you're talking Doom Patrol, which works pretty well over there.
Oh, yeah. I saw you watch that for Couch Party.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so glad.
I really
can't wait to
liked
watch
it.
More of it with you.
Yeah, I loved it. It was great. When we finished, so I was thinking as we finish Ms. Marvel and then we'll
pick
through that.
Doom
Patrol. Because I really like it. Anyway, enough about Ed Sheeran. Let me tell you guys a little bit about our friends over on Patreon who support us. It's you guys out there. You guys help us make this show possible and help pay the bills. We need it. So head on over to patreon.com/TMS as we near the end of this month and launch into a new year. We got all kinds of cool ideas coming up, not just TMS Vegas, but other cool ideas. So stick around for more and check out patreon.com/TMS for all the cool benefits you'll get. You'll never get commercials. You get pre-show content every day. You'll get couch parties like Brian just mentioned. Art in the mail and other great benefits that happen on the monthly, but only if you join us at patreon.com/TMS. That'll do it for us. Brian, we probably should play a song. Do you have one of those?
We should. I do. Yavang in the Tadpool, but he goes by the name Troy in real life. Says, hello and happy holidays, friends. It's hard to believe, but this year marks my 10th year of being a TMS fan. Time flies when you're having fun. All those years ago, a friend told me about a podcast doing Star Trek trivia. I'm a huge Trek fan. I had to check it out, but I soon realized that Trek trivia was only a small part of the show, and the hosts made me feel like I was listening to a couple of old friends.
No.
Well, we are. Just not that old.
No. Keep that in mind.
Not friends who are old for a long time, but two guys who are really old who are good friends.
I don't know about really old, but I know what you mean.
Really, really old.
Yeah, really, really old.
I came for the Trek trivia, but stayed for the poop jokes and Brian. December 15th was my birthday, and I would love it if you could play a cover song from my favorite. They're fragrant brass band, Brass Against. Thanks for all the laughs, Troy, a.k.a. Yavang.
Nice. How's he spelled Yavang, by the way? How's that spelled? Yavang.
Yavang.
Okay. That's interesting.
Just like it sounds. Like if I were to say spell Yavang in the fewest letters possible, that is exactly what you would do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That is the truth.
Happy to do it. This is from their self-titled album from 2018 covering Rage Against the Machine. Here is Brass Against and Wake Up.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So a plan for the week, just to give everybody a little idea of what to expect. We have shows tomorrow. For Wednesday, we have a show Thursday, Friday, couch party. Like, it's all normal.
Okay, it is. All right, I wasn't sure.
I think so, unless there's something that I'm not remembering. I think everything's good.
And we're going to do a show the day after Christmas?
Oh,
on Monday? Because a lot of people will be off on that day because they have Christmas. It's on a Sunday, so their boss gives them Monday.
That's true.
Off.
We could do like a special show and just do some fun stuff, different than usual.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come up with something. But anyway, and then we got this thing on the 31st where we're part of the Streamathon over there with the, I forgot the name of the thing.
The Extra Life Streamathon.
Yeah, they're doing it. It's all charity. We do it every year.
The Diamond Club folks.
Yeah, the Diamond Club guys, but they call it, Ritual Misery. That's it.
Ritual Misery, that's right.
Okay. That's happening on the 31st. I think our time is 3:30 that afternoon.
I was curious. I was just going to ask you because I'd forgotten.
Let me make sure of that. I have it right here. I can tell you.
It is.
That's a Saturday. That's Saturday.
It's Saturday.
Saturday.
It is not showing up. Oh, here it is. Found it. 3:30 Mountain Time. So there you go.
Cool. That's us.
Yep. That'll be right before Tom's thing. So stick around for his as well. Anyway, that'll do it for us. Thank you all for being here today. We'll see you tomorrow.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.